Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about being awake, asleep, alive, and dead based on the findings of spiritual understanding. In this show, we will discuss some of the indications found when an individual is sleeping in their material senses. Listen as we explore what to expect upon awakening and the truth of being. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And this is from Ephesians 5:14. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience spiritual identity. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Awake Thou That Sleeps Here Now. Well, let's break it down. What does Awake Thou That Sleeps mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a call to action, a different way of looking at what we call life, based on a lot of the information that you get from the Bible. What is meant by sleeping here? To be conscious of the material senses and unconscious to divine presence. And for most of us, we think being awake is conscious of the five senses. And when we are asleep, we are unconscious to the material senses. But what we're, like we said, what we're really striving for here is that we want to be conscious of our spiritual senses and at the same time unconscious to our material senses.
Now, is that what happens when we are actually asleep or actually conscious of our spiritual senses?
Well, to answer your question, we cycle in sleep. We go from the waking state, which is basically still working with duality. We're getting our information through our five senses. And then the next phase of that is the dream state, which is also getting information from duality, our five senses. And then the last phase of sleep, which is what is called the dreamless state, which is really direct communion with your divine presence, with divine mind. The way that we evaluate that is that we have recollection from our experience with the waking state because of the simple fact that things are in half. They're dualistic, which means there's a point of departure, there's contrast because of that separation. And that's what enables things to be picked up by our five senses, which work on contrast. When we're awake, we have recollection from our experience. The sleep from which we return, where we have recollection, the dream state, we're also getting information through our five senses. But the dreamless state is when consciousness returns to the unified state. In the unified state, there's no point of departure because spirit is whole, it's complete, and therefore there's no contrast, but then there is nothing reporting in our five-sense mind.
So again, Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, let's talk about arise from the dead. Now, we're not talking about the mortal body that's actually has expired. We're actually talking about consciousness, aren't we? Arise from the dead, is that what that means?
Yeah, but the Bible also tells us in Colossians 3:3, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What we're calling life, which is basically this physical experience that we're having, which is primarily getting its information from the five senses, we're finding out that this isn't life at all. And that what is life is hid with Christ. And Christ is the saving aspect of truth. It is what makes divine presence, this spiritual fact of being, intelligible to the human consciousness, because that's the only life that there really is. Spiritual life is the only reality. What we're finding out is you can't serve two masters. You can't have a belief in matter and also a belief in being spiritual, which is kind of like the mistake I think that we have collectively been making, which seems to have come out of our misinterpretation of Scripture. But to believe in matter is really death. And again, the Bible tells us to sow to the flesh is death, but to sow to the Spirit is life. And so this life, this invisible, intangible divine presence is really the only life that there is. And what they really mean by that is that it is the only self-existent power in the universe.
So again, so arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light is just saying for us to get out of our mortal five senses. And by doing that, we will understand this Christ consciousness, and that's what is giving us the light.
Right. We have to turn away from the testimony of our senses. We have to forsake our human modes of thinking. But then at the same time, we have to have awareness for this divine presence. And that's where this whole thing of faith comes in. You have to have a certain belief that there is going to be this invisible, intangible source that will provide us with everything we think that we need. And in the framework of us having attention for this, by us making our mind an avenue of awareness, rather than thinking humanly, we kind of shut off our ability to form thoughts and opinions, and we focus on this divine presence, this invisible, intangible source, which really doesn't report in our five-sense mind at all. So we're really looking for silence and stillness, which is a very different, I want to say, indicator for life, because most of us are looking for sensation, animation, movement as an indicator of life. But we're finding out that the changeless state of being, this invisible, intangible presence, is the only real life. And so you make your mind an avenue of awareness for it until it acknowledges you. And by us waiting and listening for it to speak to us, because again, divine mind doesn't think in duality. Divine mind thinks in the absolute. And so it doesn't speak to us in words, it speaks to us in its mode of thinking.
Well, you had mentioned faith a few minutes ago. Would you also say that not only do we have to have faith, but we have to have this sense of trust in God, not just this faith?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things that we start to learn, because also in the Bible, in James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then also in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. They also say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things unseen. Faith is where our recognition for this divine presence actually starts to demonstrate itself and have a profound effect on the appearance that is reporting in our five senses.
Well, I like that saying that we have mentioned before in previous shows, and I believe it's something like, man says, show and I will trust, and God says, trust and I will show. Kind of sounds like we have to embrace that kind of thinking.
Right. And to what extent that really is, because it really requires us to give up the false sense of existence. We have to give up the belief that we are a material, corporeal, mortal creature. And then we have to accept the simple fact that we are an eternal spiritual being. The accepting of an identity as spirit requires us to think with God as God. We must now develop spiritual sense. We have to cultivate what could be called the Christ mind. And developing our ability to think in the absolute and to think out of time and space, as opposed to what we're accustomed to thinking with our five-sense mind.
So to recap, the words dead and the words light in the Bible, you were saying earlier that we have to be careful about the misinterpretations. So dead and light should reveal what to us?
Well, I think what they mean by dead is that we're unconscious to divine presence. And the light really means that we have recognition for that truth of our being.
So when it says, arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light, that really is us making this vertical leap in our consciousness.
Yeah, and it's a shift in your awareness that you are moving from the belief in matter, from material concepts and theories and human modes of thinking, and you're now starting to think differently, which means that you are now thinking with divine mind, which does not see things in the same way that our material senses perceives things. Spirit only knows itself. It only knows spirit. It only knows the realms of the holy and the realms of perfection. Whereas what is reporting in our five-sense mind is just human conjecture. It is our ability to form thoughts based on incomplete information.
So if this divine mind knows only perfection and only of itself, therefore, if we perceive ourselves of having any kind of discord, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, lack, fear, whatever it might be. So that would be imperfect. So therefore, we're not the true reflection of this divine mind.
Right. And we're not accepting the allness of spirit. Divine presence can only function in the absolute. And so you can't divide spirit. And you can't have a mix of good and evil, right and wrong. These are all the indicators that one is asleep, which also implies that they're hypnotized. And it is our belief in two powers that creates this hypnotic state that keeps us attached to the appearances and the form. And so we need to wake up from this sleeping state, this hypnotic state that we're in.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, just to have you dig a little deeper in what you were just talking about, we had mentioned divine mind, and we had mentioned about being hypnotized. So I was wondering if you could just maybe expound upon that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, I like what it says in the Bible when in James, he talks about being double-minded, which again, this belief in two powers, this belief that there is more than one divine life, that creates what he calls instability. And when we are unstable in thought because we have this belief in two powers, it perpetuates this false sense of existence that we think we're in, which is completely constructed by human thought. But it's human thought about what is really there, which is the divine idea. Spiritual truths is the only reality that's there. But if we believe in two powers, that's what creates this trance state. Our belief in the simple fact that I am a mortal creature and I have needs and I am reacting to the testimony of my senses. My belief in that is the only thing that is perpetuating it. And it's actually a false sense of power even. And so this is what we want to try and come out of. That's what they mean by awake. And the way that we awaken is by the realization that there aren't two powers, that there is only this one divine life. It's everywhere and in everything, and it's absolute goodness. It's absolute love. And it's just the perfection of being.
And so is that what you're talking about when you say the phrase divine idea? Our spiritual selves are the divine idea of God.
Right. We are a thought in this divine mind. Mary Baker Eddy also said that we are the reflection of the divine. Somewhere in John, where he talks about God being life, and that the life of him is the light of all men. Which basically what we're saying is that we have principle and idea. We have this God and man relationship, but it's, as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It's not a two-ness that's happening here, that the reflection is the light that stems from the source, which is the divine.
So when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, like you said, there's not two people, so to speak. He is saying that he is a part of a bigger whole.
Right. And that's a big part of what we're talking about here, this awakening. That when all of a sudden we have this revelation that there is only one power, there is only one life. And that everything that you are perceiving in your five senses is just a thought or a concept about what is there. And so as we start to acknowledge and live out from this divine awareness, from this divine idea, this thought, which is perfect, whole, harmonious, and eternal, then it has a profound effect on our external image of it.
I'd like to know if we could talk more about it is hid in Christ. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. Can we break that down a little bit more? What does it mean to be hid in Christ?
Yeah, what we're really talking about is the I in the midst of you. And the I in the midst of you am the only identity on this earth. And whoever is not in I is dead. The sinning, the unhealthiness, the problems is always the unawareness of I. Where is this I that we're talking about? And that's what we come back to, that it is hid in Christ. It's invisible to our five senses, but it's visible to divine mind. And that's the mind of Christ.
And that's where we get that phrase Christ consciousness from?
Yeah, Christ consciousness is aware of this truth of being. It is aware of our spiritual identity.
So if we're talking about the I in the midst of you, it's also the power of God on earth.
Right. And this is life. The appearance of the human sense of things is not that life. That's a concept we entertain about the life we cannot see.
And I see that when you say that word life, you actually mean that word life with the capital L, meaning something from the divine.
Right. Eternal life.
Now, I see in the notes here for this show, we have some information by Herb Fitch, and wonder if maybe you want to go over that with us now.
Yeah, Herb Fitch did a class or lecture on The Mystical Eye, which was a book by Joel Goldsmith. And in class 9, we have a quote here. As I am able to attain more of the Christ mind, which can translate the immortal body in fullness, then this outer body image will reflect the gifts of the Father, the truth of Christ being. So this is what we're saying. The more that we can start to understand ourselves spiritually, the more that we can live out from this spiritual sense of who we are, then that will start to change how we're thinking. And in changing how we're thinking, it will have an effect on this outer image.
It sounds like that's what Christ Jesus did, is that he had this Christ mind, and according to what you just said by Herb Fitch, will reflect the gifts of the Father, and that's how he was able to heal the sick, raise the dead, reform the sinners.
That's exactly right. And that's what we're learning, is that this is a demonstrable principle. It's not just something that you believe in, and it's not something that you just theorize about, but it is a principle that you start to demonstrate. It becomes a practical guide for highly effective living, especially when you can start to demonstrate the dominion that they're talking about. But you can't do it from this human false sense of who you think you are. We have to give that up, and we have to accept spiritual identity. And in our assuming spiritual identity, we start to change how we're thinking, which means that we're no longer limited to our five sense testimony, that we are starting to see the allness of this divine presence, this omnipresence, the omnipotence of this one divine life, which is eternal, unchanging, and absolute goodness.
Well, how do you know if you're a practitioner and somebody has a healing, they're cured or they get better, the headache goes away. Well, how do you know if it's because that you were in this Christ consciousness or if it was from your mental means?
Well, to answer your question, I think the practitioner themselves would probably know that better, because I don't think awareness of this Christ leaves you guessing. Mary Baker Eddy would say that healing wasn't guesswork, that it was the demonstration of a principle or a science. And so if you have this God experience, if you have opened that door in your consciousness where this divine presence speaks to you, that's very different than if you are a human trying to do this with a five-sense mind and you're still working with the limitations of finite thought. Because you can change finite bad to finite good doing this mentally with belief alone. But that's not what we're striving for here. We want to awaken into the truth of our being. And so in order to do that, we really need this God experience. We really have to think differently, which means we have to let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being. When you do that, in order to do that, you have to give up a personal sense of who you are.
As you were talking, I was thinking about what Jesus had said when he declared, "Of thine own self I do nothing." So he was giving, everything that he was doing wasn't him that was doing it. It was him in this Christ consciousness that was doing all these works.
Right. And that's, again, that's the eye of his being. It is when divine mind takes over the government. That's what dominion is. It's simply attuning yourself to this will of the Father. And that's the will that has all the power of the universe. So by you just letting it express itself through you, it does all the work.
I know you were saying earlier that we have to change our thinking. Is there also ways that we can pray to this divine mind for, say, guidance?
Well, I think prayer in and of itself is a very different thing, because prayer here, I think, is just direct communion with this divine presence. It is abiding in the allness of this one divine life. Where most of us think praying is asking for things. But if you are still coming out of your modes of mortal thought, it's very helpful for you to fill your thoughts with these divine ideas to help make your thought buoyant so you can invite this divine consciousness into your consciousness. You can invite this one divine spiritual power into your consciousness. It requires us to let go of our material moorings and to make our thought buoyant. And so if you're going to ask for anything, don't be asking for things on a material level. Ask for your ability to know the truth or something that would have more of a spiritual outcome.
So we want to awake and we want to do it here and now.
Right, because you have to come out of time and space. Spirit isn't here and there, because for spirit, everything is here. And for spirit, 5,000 years ago is now. 5,000 years from now is now. And so we have to move into the eternal now, and we have to think in this absolute sense or mode of thought.
Well, we had to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, please visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And then when you're there on the homepage, click on that fading banner when it says Blog Talk Radio, and that will bring you to the catalog of all the shows that we've done to further your learning experiences. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to wake up and come out of the sleeping in their five senses and start to understand the truth of their being and demonstrate that for yourself, because your life will become magical as you start to exercise some of this dominion that the Bible promises us. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.